Well, look at verse 11. David knew also that only God could restore his walk in the Spirit. You see, what's happening here, and that's why I say it's such a treasure, and don't just walk through this passage. David is successively restoring everything that got shut off. When the power goes off around here, all of the power things are making the power, whatever they're called, backup deals. They all start whistling and blinking and doing stuff, and you have to go around and reset them all. David, the power went off, and he fell into sin. And so everything is squeaking and needs to be reset. And he's going through one sector of his life at a time and letting God reset him. And when we get to the 11th verse, he says, "Don't cast me away from your presence." Now, don't ever read the Bible in a vacuum. What did he say in Psalm 139? Remember, "Whither shall I go from your presence? Whither shall I flee your spirit?" I could go anywhere. He said, I could even go to the depths of hell, and I can't be out of your presence. But what didn't he have at this point? He didn't feel. He didn't experience the joy of God's presence. So he says in verse 11, "Don't cast me away from your presence." He says, only you can restore the work of the Spirit in my life. "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." The days had stretched into weeks and months of spiritual wasteland. David had experienced times so bad, he never wanted to revisit those times again. He was so aware of the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit that had come upon him, that had filled his heart with joy and with songs and with peace. And that had been pulled back. You see, there was a time in his life he was closer to the Lord. The Lord felt nearer. He had come to a point where he knew in his heart of faith, in his mind, he knew he was restored. But he's asking for God to bring back that joy of his salvation, that awareness of God's presence. He was resetting these parts of his life. And so he says, verse 10, "I want to be renewed. My heart, create me a new one." Verse 11, "Bring back the walk I had in the Spirit." And then he goes to verse 12. He says, "I also want the fruit of the Spirit in my life." Notice what he says in verse 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, what? Joy. Joy is not, you know, wasting your money and buying a lottery ticket and winning. That just brings a temporal enticement to spend more money to try and find more happiness. No, joy is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, ungrieved and unhindered. And what he's saying here in verse 12 is, he knew only God could renew the fruit of the Spirit. And joy of salvation is something only the Spirit of God can give us. And so he's saying, God, uphold me by your generous spirit, which means sustain me. Give me a willing spirit. It's not something we get by moving to a nicer home. We don't get joy by a better neighborhood. It's just temporary. It's not something we get by buying something we really want, because it's so brief you'll want something else and that joy will go away. It's not something we get by accomplishing some deed of greatness, because that's so fragile. Everyone's always, did you see on the front page, maybe it was yesterday, the tallest buildings? Did you know each of those buildings were tall in their day, but someone always had to outdo them, and it showed Tulsa's, you know, tall building, and who was the tallest? Everyone always outdoes someone else. If you get your joy by some accomplishment, someone will ruin your day by accomplishing something more. And so you don't, and I don't get joy externally, as David. He realized it's an internal fruit born by the Spirit of God that grows deeper and deeper inside of us. David says, "Bring back the fullness of your Spirit in my life. I'm going to focus on you. I want you to wash my heart," verse 10. "I want you to restore me walking in your Spirit," verse 11. "I want you to renew your fruit growing inside of me." Basically, what he's saying is, "I want you." And so he's resetting all the, or asking God to reset all the things that had flipped and the breakers that had crashed in his sin. And then he goes to the next one. This is very hard for most people. Verse 13, David knew that only God could prepare him for further ministry. What David was saying is there anything I can do now after this? The whole world knows about his sin. I mean, it's forever recorded in heaven, the details. It's in the Bible. And he said, is there anything for me? Verse 13. when David got his new heart, the new beginning in verse 10, the walk in the Spirit in verse 11, the fruit of the Spirit in verse 12, he says, God, you are now preparing me for further ministry, and I want you to minister through me. He says in 13, then, when I get this new beginning, this new heart, this new joy, then, verse 13, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. He says, when I let you, God, do all this, when I let you wash my heart, when I let you restore my walk in the Spirit, when I let you renew your bringing forth fruit in my life, you will prepare future ministry for me. You know, sometimes when we hit bottom, when we're in sin, we just think it's all over. I'm useless. God will never use me again. What David says is, I'm going to come back and I'm going to serve you. Not my way, not the way I... And David never was able to quite serve the Lord the same, right? God would not allow him to build the temple because he was a man of blood. And God would not allow him to have that incredible, tranquil kingdom he had had in the past because of his adultery. But he still served God. In fact, some of the best psalms he wrote after his fall into sin. He didn't go back when he was still in sin, and there was quite a long period of time, but God worked him through the process. God utterly cleansed him. God filled him back up with joy.